I thought I did. Am I? Can you guys hear me? Yeah, it's on. So it is the 4th of July, right? And I love that we celebrate independence. And I heard this little video where it talks about the greatest independence that we have as Christians is Jesus. Because what he did for us in the cross of the Calvary, not only did he free us from sin, but he freed us from a life of death. He freed us from death because we could have died. We could have had to pay for our sin. I heard this little thing, and I loved it because it says, while Jesus was in that tomb, the Bible says that he went into the middle of the earth. And while he was there, he was fighting for you and me. When it seems like in the cross he was dying, and everybody says, well, how come that man, that there's so many miracles and there's so many things, cannot get himself from there? In the surface, it looked like something was bad. In the surface, he was dying. He was suffering. He was hurting. But in the inside, that's why he said, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. In the inside, he was saving us. When he went on earth, he went to grab all the keys of the kingdom of Satan and grab them so that you and I can have freedom. And that's the best freedom we celebrate. Yeah, we celebrate our freedom from the country that we live, but we celebrate the freedom that God has given you and me. I don't know about you, but that's something to get excited about. And when I'm saying that, I want to talk to you about something this morning that is called There's Always Another Way. There is always another way. It's not human, but there's always another way. When I got here, I was introduced to a young man. I call it a young man. He's sitting right there on the second row. That he's been struggling with sickness, and he was very close to die last year, all year round. He's standing right here. There is always another way. It may not be human, but there's always another way. We don't have the last say. He does. I want you to turn to John 21. And I'm going to read until 1 through 14 because I want to talk about an incident that happened in this verses that creates the other way. Again, it's John 21, and it's 1 through 14 that we're going to read. And I'm going to read from one of my favorite versions just because I love the way they put the word. It's the True Passion Translation. And it says like this, later Jesus appeared once again to a group of his disciples by the Lake of Galilee. It happened one day while Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathan from Cana and the Galilee, Jacob, John, and two other disciples were all together. Peter told them, I'm going fishing. And they all reply, well, I'll go with you. So they watch out and fish through the night, but caught nothing. Then at dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore. But the disciple did not realize that it was him. He called out to them saying, "Hey guys, did you catch anything? Did you catch any fish?" "Not a thing," they replied. Jesus shouted to them, "Draw your net over the starboard side and you'll catch some." And so they did as he said. And they caught so many fish that they couldn't even pull in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is the Lord." When Peter heard him saying that, he quickly wrapped his outer garment around him, and because he was athletic, he drove into the lake to go to Jesus. This is not the first time he does that, right? And when they got to the shore, they noticed a charcoal fire with some wadded into... Hold on. I lost my trend here that I was doing. All we'll stop there because all he was doing is making breakfast for them. I read this many times. I can tell you what he said. But he was making breakfast for them. And he told them, "Bring the fish that you fish." And he served them that morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much because of what you do. Father, I thank you that we're celebrating you, that we're celebrating an invitation to your kingdom. We're celebrating what you do in our life. We're celebrating that you're standing right here with us, that you are in the midst of us. Lord God, I pray this morning that you will give us a word, Lord God, that you will give us a word to penetrate into our heart. Move me to the side and be the Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. I thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, this is a story that I can rewrite in Noel's words, but it's just amazing what God does and how in this session of the Bible, John has a particular way of showing us things that only him saw that other gospels don't have. There's a few things that other gospels don't have that John shows. And the story that we're seeing was right after Thomas had been visited by Jesus. They were in that room and Thomas was telling them, "No, I don't believe it until I see it, right? Not until I see those wounds in the hands and everything. Now I won't believe that," right? So this is right after that story. And this is a third time that God comes to see the disciples. This time they said they were all together. I could imagine what they were going through because after Jesus died, they were all scared. They went into a room because they thought they were going to look for them and being killed at the same time as Jesus was. They thought they were going to get killed, so they were all hiding. They were all together, all scared. I could imagine the stress that they're going through. Most of those disciples of Jesus were fishermen. If you're ever going fishing, there's something relaxing about fishing, correct? So they were trying, Peter in his head was trying to do, maybe if we go to work, maybe if we fish, maybe we kind of get rid of everything that's going on in our life. So he said, "I'm going fishing." It's just plain and simple. "I'm going fishing." He took off. The other disciples go, "Well, we're going with you because I think we need something to relax us too. We need something to change." In the middle of everything that they were going through, it was so hard. Those times were very difficult for the disciples because they have no clue what was coming next. Jesus did not told them everything. Yeah, it's not until the book of Acts that he tells them, "Wait until you leave for the Holy Spirit." We're still at the end of Luke here. And he's telling them, they don't know. They were struggling. They were still, even though Jesus had came back, they still didn't know what was next. And I could tell you that it was probably a very stressful time for the disciple. It was probably, in the human side, it was scary. It was stressful. They were probably all with anxiety and different things that was going on in their life at that point because of what had happened to Jesus. Remember what I said earlier? Even though he was on that cross and it looked like it was bad, there was something growing new inside of that. The church, the new church of Jesus Christ, was being built. Remember when he told the teachers, in 3 days, I will destroy the temple and build it right back in 3 days. And why was he accused to die? That's the first thing they used. That man said that he will destroy the temple and in 3 days he will build it back. But they had no clue what they were talking about. They had no clue. They didn't know what he was saying. What he was saying is, I'm going to destroy all this old thinking and I'm going to rebuild something new that is going to grow in 3 days. And the Son of Man will go and completely be dead and be right back so that a new church could emerge. He's been preparing the disciples for 3 years for a day like this. When the Holy Spirit came into that room and the day of Pentecost, he had been preparing the disciples for 3 years, 3 whole years to get to that point. And in this point, I can imagine the stress that they were going through, the things that they were going through. And by saying, I'm going fishing, that was kind of like a relaxing, now I could sit down, I can relax, at least we're working, we're back to what we were doing, we're not in the stress of all this stuff going on, we don't have Jesus, we don't know what we're doing, he's there, but he's not with us, he's kind of coming in and off the picture, so what are we going to do? We don't know. What do? They go fishing. They spend the whole night fishing. I could imagine, I don't know, I'm just saying the story just the way I see it. When that happens to me, when I'm stressed, when I'm in a bad place, I don't do right with things. Things kind of go on the side because I'm not right here. So I can't perform a job or something the right way because my mind is like out of the way. And that's just me. I don't know about you, but that happens to people. And I could imagine that by them sitting in there, they probably just went to talk because they weren't catching anything. And all of a sudden, the whole night they're fishing, nothing. They're coming back and they look out short and there's a man. They don't recognize who he is because they didn't recognize who he is. And that man said, hey guys, did you catch anything? And they're probably looking like, what? No, we didn't. Nothing. And here this man yells back, throw the net on the other side. A few months ago, I was in my church, in our Spanish church, and I'm sitting in the pew. Pastor's preaching. I'm not preaching. He's preaching. And all of a sudden, he's right at the end, and he finishes message. And then he stands up, and he goes, now we're going to have Pastor Noel come, and he's going to give you a word from the Lord. And I just looked at him like, all right. God, you told him that, but you didn't tell me what I was going to give. I'm sitting right here. You didn't tell me what I was going to give. And he goes, Pastor Noah, can you come? And I'm like thinking, it took me a minute to get up because I'm talking to God and I'm going, God, all right, what you didn't give me anything. I'm sitting right here. You didn't give me anything. And you told him that I have a word. So how's that possible? But I got up. And as I was talking, you know, sometimes when God got you in that corner, and I'm very truthful. When I open my mouth, I say, what's coming out of my mouth is not from God. But the following thing that followed that was this. And we're all somehow, and I don't remember all the details, but somehow I said, we want to come in here because I needed help. I needed God to speak to me. I said, there were probably about 30 people, which it was, our building is big enough that we can put all those 30 people in the front here and just hold hands and pray. And that's what I said. Let's come and let's hold and we pray. And I know the kid that it was in there, our youth pastor, all of a sudden started speaking. And when the Holy Spirit speak, I'll shut up and I'll let other, you know, whoever's speaking. And while he was speaking, God then begins to talk to me. He's like, I need you to give this word. This is something that's coming. And I said, after he was done, I said, well, let me give you this. Right now, the Lord is saying that he is getting ready to move to the harvest that you need. Some of you are very tired of going and going and going and not have a prayer to, an answer to prayer. Some of you have been working hard and don't see no changes. Some of you have been in this mess for over a year and you don't see nothing. You look around and the seats are empty. Nobody comes. And I'm telling you right now, there is always another way that God do things. This morning, this was in the afternoon. But the word is for you too. This afternoon, I need you to throw your net to the other side. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your life looked like, no matter if you were let go and you don't have a job, no matter what happened, no matter if the doctor just told you that you're about to die, I need you to take your net and throw it on the other side. I mean, I can't even imagine the dialogue in between Peter and those disciples, but I can only imagine what Jesus saw. And Jesus is standing right there, and they're all like looking probably all, well, we went in, we relaxed, but we didn't got anything, we don't got anything back. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared out of nowhere. Isn't that like him? Because sometimes we're in that tough season of our life where everything seems to go wrong. Where everything seems like there's nothing right. It's coming through. And so there are only two things that happen there. Either we fall off or we stay put and said, I am not going to give up. I am not going to give up. Because if I give up now, I will not see what God has for me. And if you stay, he was standing right there and he said, hey guys, do you fish anything? Did you think God knew the answer to that? Why is he asking? Why does he ask them, did you fish? You got anything? You caught anything? Why? He knew the answer. I'm sure he was probably over there around the conversation that they were having. He knew the answer. Why did he ask the disciples, did you caught anything? You got to remember, the disciples were at a point in their life that they had no clue, no clue, no clue who Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God. That's it. That's about it. But that cross made it look like he was defeated. Hear my words. Made it look like he was defeated. He wasn't defeated. But you know when they got that? After Jesus was already gone and the Holy Spirit came in. Because when the Holy Spirit came in, it was like a whole entire libel showed up in their head and was like, oh. Wow, that's why he did that. That's why he did that. Let me tell you something. Just a few months ago, my wife, she's into this TikTok thing now. So I watch it with her, but she says, like, I want to show you a video. And I said, okay, let me see it. And it's this girl. And the girl started this by saying this. And she goes and says, I'm not a religious person. I've never been a religious person in my life. My parents never went to church. I didn't grow up in church. I don't know anything about God. As I started having children, something came into my mind and said, maybe you have to look into religion. You have to look into something. So this girl started doing research on religion. She found this religion. Anybody ever heard of the aliens coming into Earth? They build the pyramids. Anybody know about that? So she found that religion. So in her head, it made sense that this was the right religion. And she says she kept doing life, but she believes in it and read on it and started thinking that maybe there were aliens out there somewhere and that they were gods, and then this is who we have to worship and all this stuff. It's like, it makes sense because the pyramids, all this other stuff that they have found doesn't make sense the way it was done. So she said, I did that for like over a year. One morning, I'm getting out of my bed. I wake up, and I'm trying to get out of my bed, but all of a sudden, this overwhelming love just fell. And as I'm getting out of my bed, I couldn't even stand up because of this overwhelming love and peace that I felt. And all of a sudden, simply in my head, this idea that God was real show up. And that the Son of God, Jesus, has died for me. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody touched her. This was in the middle of a pandemic. And she got up and literally said, wow, God is real. And the Son of Man died for me. And she finished with this. Ever since that day, my life has never been the same. And my wife says, open the comments. I opened the comments on the video, and there were over hundreds and hundreds of people going, I got the same vision. That happened to me. Tell me that God is not doing anything while the church was supposed to be closed. Tell me that God did stay sitting down in that throne and didn't do anything. Look it up on social media. It's all over the place. Let me tell you this. I was in April. I was sitting in, because I was going to be introduced as the mission directors at our district. And I was sitting in our district assembly. And there was not many people in there because of COVID. We couldn't have the people that we needed to have or whatever. One of the general superintendents was speaking. There's nine of us in our organization. There's nine of them. One of them is a female, amazing woman of God, man. I mean, if you hear this woman speak, it's like, wow. But she proceeded to put some graph up there about what was going on in our denomination for the last 2 years. And I love what I saw. I didn't know what she was going to show, but I started to see she showed how many numbers of people that the organization have. But she was doing it from 2016. And 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 showed up. At the end of 2019, the number that it was in December of 2019, it says $2,225. I'm not 225 people, but I'm not like for sure. I'm giving you a guess estimation because I can't remember all the numbers, but this is exactly what it was. And I looked at, I actually took a picture of that because I was like, what? And I looked at that number. Then I went to the next graph, which says 2020. At the end of 2020, how many know that was a year of our pandemic where half, most of our church were closed and we couldn't preach, we couldn't go out anywhere, we couldn't do mission. At the end of 2020, the number in that graph says 2,625,000 people. Now, did anybody did math quick here? How much growth would that was in a year of pandemic? 400,000 people in 1 year that the church was closed, that the missions could not go. The church grew 400,000 people. Plus, they added country number 164 where they found a mission. In a year of pandemic. Now, if you tell me God didn't work while we were all shut down, He was doing something. He was working behind the scene because we weren't supposed to grow. And I'm sitting in there, it's like, am I the only one that I'm really excited about the numbers that I'm watching in there? Because everybody's like, oh, that's nice. You know, and I'm like, am I the only one that, like, the Holy Spirit's like jumping and saying, man, that was me. I was doing that while everybody else was sitting at home. I was doing that. I was like, what? Am I the only one that I'm like, feel joyful for what I'm watching? Like, I couldn't believe it. And I'm sitting in there and I'm looking at everybody else and they're all just like, I said, wow, that's crazy. That's insane. Like, because I don't know about you, how long does it take you to get 20 people in here? Let's put it that way. How long does it take you to get 20 people in here? How long would it take you to get 400,000 people in here? Tell me God's not doing something in the country, in the world. Tell me God's not doing something in the world when we think we are sitting in here and when we think we got nothing going. God said, all right, yeah, you guys are quiet for now. You're following the law. You're following what they tell you. Okay, you're quiet, but it's my turn. Now I'm working. That's when I'm working. There is always another way when it seems like there's no way. There is always another way. Man, you got to understand something. There's something that we've been talking to the church about. It's contentment. I love the word contentment because the word contentment helps you to understand God. You know, have you ever met those people that they have, you go in, and I saw this personally, and I've been in many places where I hear people complaining about their heart. I went into this men's house, this guy that I know for years, he had a beautiful home. This thing was over 7,000 square foot. Huge home. Like 10 bedrooms, I mean, 3-4 living rooms, and had a court in the back, had about 10, 12 acres of land. And I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden I hear him complaining about his house, that his house is not big enough. That he needed a bigger house. You know, I was like, what? My 3-bedroom home, that the rooms are this tiny, it's a nice house, but I'm fine with it. We need more space. I have 2 teenagers and a 10-year-old. But I'm fine with what God has given me in this season of life. But then I hear this man going, oh, I needed a bigger house. This is not enough for me. And I'm like, what? I heard this. I was talking to this young man the other day, and they're about to have a baby. They're 23, 22. And all of a sudden, he has a pickup truck, and she has a RAV4 where they can fit 5 people in there. All of a sudden, I hear the talk. A lady from our church walked in and said, I just got a new car. I wanted to show it. And she was really excited about it. And all of a sudden, out of his mouth, oh, yeah, we're going to have to get a new one because our car is very small. And I said, you just got married last year, and all you're getting is one child. Why are you getting a three-row seater? Do you know something I don't know? Maybe you're having five kids and I didn't know that. You only have one. One. The next 2 days, he went and got a new car, got a three-seater. And then he goes, well, the payment is a little higher, but you got to do it. And I'm like, what do you mean you got to do it? You're only getting one kid. That can fit perfectly fine on the back of your five-people SUV that you had. Contentment is something that if we do not gradually know Jesus, and let me make it a little bit connected to you. If there's something wrong with your relationship with God, you can't find contentment. Does that make sense? If there's something wrong with the relationship that you have with God, you can't find contentment. And you will never see the other way. If there's something wrong with your relationship with God, you will never see the other way. Because in order for you to see the other way, this relationship has to be right. If this one is not right, all this other one here is messed up. And I will not be happy. I will not feel like I had the right things. You know, you can hear people all the time around you complaining about what they have and complaining like the neighbor got a new car. Now I need to go get another new car. They moved out. They got a bigger house. Well, you know what? Now I got to go get another bigger house. Why? Something that I heard from my pastor, he preached it the other day, which I heard it before. Have you ever seen a U-Haul truck behind a funeral home vehicle? Have you ever seen a U-Haul truck behind the hearse? Have you ever? On a procession for a funeral home when somebody dies that they're in the road and they're going away to the cemetery. Have you ever seen a U-Haul truck behind the hearse? Why not? You can't take it with you. You can't. Where are you going to put that? So no matter what you buy in here, and I'm not saying don't be a millionaire. I'm not saying don't have money. That's not what I'm saying. If God blessed you with that, there was a reason that you were blessed with that. But contentment needs to happen in our life in order to move forward. You have to be content with what you have in the season of your life. So that when you move forward, God can promote you with everything that he wants you to have. If you are a wealthy businessman, amen. But that doesn't mean that you have it all. I was watching this movie last night. It says, The Calling of God. It was based in Nigeria, Lego, Nigeria, if you've ever been there. But in Lego, there's a lot of wealth. It's one of the countries where cities in Africa where there's a lot of wealth. Most of the people that live in Lego are wealthy people, the millionaires. And this woman came from a wealthy family. She met a man that her dad gave an opportunity to work under his business. And then she married this man. This man came from a village, which means he was poor. And now he married this girl. She thought she had it all. Mom was a very faithful Christian woman. Dad, the money got him so crazy that he stopped serving God. So the opening of the movie goes this way. They're sitting at a table. It's her husband, and her 5-year-old girl. And the little girl, they're all happy, they're all laughing, blah, blah, blah. The little girl opens her mouth and said, "Isn't today Sunday?" And they all looked at each other, "Yes, Sunday. Well, how come we're not going to church?" And all of a sudden, those parents were like, "Oh, she opened her mouth, says we got to go to church, so we're going to church today." All the plans switched around because the little girl opened her mouth. They show them in church, and the preacher is speaking, and all of a sudden at the end, he says, "God is calling you." The woman heard that, and it stayed in her ears. The whole time he was speaking, all he hear, he's saying, "God is calling you." And she was about to get off that seat because she wasn't happy with God. She had stopped believing in God. And she was about to get up that seat and leave. But because of her family, she stayed. The whole story, this girl was a drug addict. You see how everything that you have doesn't give you contentment? Nothing that it's in here gives you contentment. Nothing. She was completely destroyed. She was a drug addict. He was doing all kinds of other stuff. He was a nice guy, but he didn't believe in God. The whole story goes that the little girl walks in one morning. Mama's outside talking to one of her friends. And she thought, "I can cook." Turns on the stove. No fire comes in. But the gas stays around. When she keeps moving, bringing stuff out. She lights a lighter. Boom. And created a bomb. And the little girl died. So it's a very sad movie. But what I'm telling you, I don't want to keep telling you because there's a lot of stuff going on. She tried to commit suicide. It's very cool because they portray God that God can call you in your phone. So every time that woman was in some kind of trouble, she'll get a phone call and has their phone on the top. You know how it tells you who's calling? It says God. And she just one time broke that phone and was tired because she didn't want to answer. And all that could go into her head was, "God is calling you." And she didn't want to answer. But when she died, when she committed suicide, she was on that bridge, ready to jump, and God, her cell phone goes off. She looked, "God is calling you." And you know what she said? "God, if you want to talk to me, save me." And she jumped. Out of nowhere, this huge hand came in and went, whoop, put her on a boat, and sent her away so that they can find her. And she survived that. And while she was at her daughter's funeral, the pastor came in and went to say something to her because he did the funeral. And guess what she hear? "God is calling you." And that was it. She went crazy. She almost hit the pastor. Because God was talking to her, but she didn't want to hear because everything else that was around her. Look, the woman, she didn't have to have a job. She was a millionaire. Mom and dad were very wealthy. She had everything she wanted. Her husband was working for her dad, so he had everything she wanted. They had a beautiful home. They have all this stuff, but they lost one of the most precious things they had. And it was God. Not even their daughter, because their daughter was fine. She believed in God even though she was in an unbeliever house. She was the one that brought in God. And every night they had to pray with her because she made them pray. But because they lost, because they were mourning the loss of their daughters and they couldn't understand what was different. When she found God, when God went like this, that she found God, her life changed completely. And then she understood. She went to her husband and told her, "Hey, God is calling me. We have to go do something for him." And he said, "No, If your God want to talk to me, tell him to bring my daughter back to life. And after she came out of that hospital, she had another accident that put her in the hospital. When the doctor was talking to the husband, told him this. She's okay. I don't know how she survived it, but she survived it. And by the way, the baby is also fine. And he's like, what? The what? Your wife is 5 weeks pregnant. Do you get it? After she went through all this, because the reason she said, God, I need you to answer my prayer. Something else had to happen to her to put her somewhere in where they can tell him, look, she's fine. I don't know how she survived it, but the baby's also fine. When he heard that, his life changed completely. You know what he said? That must be God. He got it like this. That must be God. Because no matter what happened, there's always another way. Right. It may not be the human side of things, but there's always another way that God wants to share with you this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I want to encourage you to know something, that no matter what you're going through, look, Paul asked to be taking something off because it kept bothering him. We don't know what it was. It could have been a sickness, could have been something. But what did God said to him? I ain't taking that away from you. I'm not taking that away. Why? Why would he tell him that? Why would he say that? Here's the thing I have about, and I'm going to finish with this, but here's the thing I have about America. Here's a problem that I have with America. The Jesus that we teach is not the Jesus of the Bible. I was talking to a coworker a few months ago, and he was find out that I was a pastor. He wanted to talk to me. Somehow, one way or another, the church that I'm in now, he used to go to that church. He got married there, and he's talking to me, and I watch him in action quite a few times. Very angry man. I mean, and I said, you know what? That has to change. I said, if you want change, that has to go away. And you know who the only person that can change that. He says, I know. But he didn't like my answer. So he went seeking at the job that I was doing. We used to go to different churches delivering food and things like that. And he hit to this church. It was about this church. And talked to this pastor. This pastor gave him a book, which had nothing wrong with the book. I'm not going to tell you what book was, but nothing wrong with that book. But he said to him this, read this, give your life to the Lord, and you'll see how everything will change. All your problems will go away. I was like, what? Oh, what? What do you mean all your problems will go away? Can I ask, with a show of hand, anybody here, when they came to Christ, that all your problems went away? I'm just saying, look. And mine's not even counting, but I'm just asking you, with a show of hand, anybody here? So why are we telling people that if you come to Christ, all of your problems will go away, all your finances will be taken care of, all of your things will be taken care of? You hear people saying that. Look, I've been in places where I'm sitting right next to someone, and the co-worker that's working with the big TV man that is speaking right there, come to pray for that person. That person doesn't get healed. Hey, all you got to do is give us an offering and God will heal you. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? And there's a guy on TV. I don't even know the name now. I'm not going to tell you the name. But he's called, and one what I'm about to say, you probably will know who he is. The little C of the $2,000. He started with the $200 one. And he says, sow into the kingdom, $2,000. So-and-so needed a car, and they sold $2,000. And out of the blue, they won this brand new car, and blah, blah, blah. And he put all this old stuff on TV for you to give. I heard him tell someone, give the money that you have for your rent to my ministry. God will give you 10 times more. You'll be able to pay it. The following month, 2 or 3 months, the person may be out in the streets because they didn't pay the rent. They're sitting in their house. I'm not going to even say it, big house, taking air. And people are suffering because they're giving them the money. I'm not giving you a commercial for the pastor, but if you want to sow seed on somebody's that is doing something for the kingdom, give it to your local church. Give it to where you go. Because that, you know where that money is going. That way you know where that money is going. It's sowing in the kingdom of God, in your local community, in your area. Somebody that is telling you, send the money, send it here. And if you do it, I'm not telling you, don't do it. But whatever you want to give, sow it into your local church, because they're the one going up there to the community talking to people. If you belong to an organization, I'm sure that organization has missions, you know. And those that I saw Pastor Sherry talking about, that help, that people that they help down in Jamaica, you know. Money that can go into the kingdom of growth. That way you know where your money is going. When you sow into somebody else that you don't know who it's going to, you have no clue what happens to that money. Is it going to grow the kingdom? You don't know. Is it going to be? For that matter, send it to the local church and say, Pastor, God told me to give this. Boom. Guess what? I'm a live testimony of what can do when you sow into the kingdom of God. I'm a pastor's kid. My entire life, do you know what was putting food on my table? Your tithes and offerings. Because that was paying my dad's salary. So I am a living testimony of how many times I saw my dad struggling with things. Look, I know my dad to do this. Many years I saw him doing this. When I was a little kid, my dad had, it was in a church in Puerto Rico, and he was building the church because they had a little tiny church, and he found a place in a community where he wanted to build a church, and he was building the church. He was in the construction. In Puerto Rico, years ago, you can do this. You didn't have to pay contractors. There are people in the church that will do it, and volunteers, everybody will build a hall. It was like the Amish people will come in and build a whole barn, and boom, and they were done. But I saw my dad, people come, Pastor, we need this and this and this and that. Okay. Pulled out his wallet, gave out money out of his own pocket, and said, okay, go get it. 90% of my dad's salary that the church was giving to him was going right back into the building. Do you know how many things I saw in my house? The craziest thing that I ever seen, this is my second time saying I'm going to be done with this. I'm counting them. Number 5 is the last one. But I saw this. I remember my dad getting up. It was like 3:30 in an afternoon. I don't remember what day, but he got up and said to my mom, I got to go visit someone at the church. Okay, so he leaves from my house, goes into the next town, 30 minutes, about 20 minutes, go into the grocery store, does this entire grocery. And then he goes into Kentucky Fried Chicken and buys a family meal. I don't know for what, but he does all this. Then he goes travel about an hour to get to the town, from the town that he was to the town where the church was, because that's where the brother that he was going to visit was. By the time he was done with all this, the time he got into the house, it was about 6 o'clock. So he started this at 3:30, left my house. Around 6 o'clock, he's knocking this people home. But let me tell you what's going on inside this house. Prior to my dad get there, this man had lost his job. They have no money to buy food. But this man, which actually is a pastor today here in York, believe it or not, this man tells his wife, get everything ready. And she said, what do you want me to get ready? There's no food. There's no money. We got nothing. Get everything ready. Set the table. And we're going to sit. And we're going to pray. So they set the entire table like they were going to eat, like there was food. But it was empty. The plates, the cups, everything was empty. He says, and around 5, I don't know, give you a guess estimated, 5:55, whatever. He says, all right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the food that you provided. Imagine the idea of those kids watching this empty place and dad is praying. Thank you for the food that you provided. As soon as this man closes his mouth and finishes prayer, there's a knock on the door. And that's my dad standing on the other side of the door with a whole grocery and a family meal from KFC. So, again, tell me God does not do two on the inside. So a prayer that wasn't even open to say close to 6 o'clock was answered at 3:30 in the afternoon. You don't believe in God? That's how I grew up. That's what I saw growing up. Those are the miracles that I saw growing up. And I decided I didn't want to believe in God. And I left the church. Until the day that I was dying, that I said, okay, God, I'm done. I don't want to live this life anymore. It doesn't pay. Same year, I almost drowned 3 times. I was shot at, I drowned. And on my way to the airport to come home, I almost got into a big accident and died because my one tire blew up. It was raining and I was doing about 80 miles a mile. So you can think about that. You will know that one car just don't stop. When your tire blew up, just try to break the brake and see what happened. And you're driving 80 miles an hour when it's raining and you try to press those brakes, see what happened. But this person right here pressed the brake and my car stopped fully. And if it wasn't because of God, I wouldn't be here today. So let me tell you, is God real? Is he real? Have you feel God in your life to the point that you want to say, God, I know that you're real. God, I know that you're real. God, I know that there's another way, that it doesn't always have to be my way. Stop thinking that is the human way that's going to save you, because it's not. It's not here. It's the supernatural that comes in and it takes place. Yeah, some of your thinking might work sometime, but it's his thinking that changes. And if you allow God to have control, your life will never be the same. Whenever you said, God, have you ever been in a roller coaster? What happens when you go down? Did you feel like you have control as you're going down at 50-something miles an hour and it's going down a hill? Did you feel like you have control? What'd you do? Did you get scared or did you just let go and just said, all right, I'm not in control, so I decide to go along with it? That's the same way God is asking you to do. No matter what happened, let go. I'm third time, I'm going to finish with this. I don't know if you guys know about this, but a few weeks ago, anybody know here who Pastor Trevor Willian is? A few weeks ago, this man was coming on 30, driving with his family and his wife. Someone that was coming on the opposite side of the 30, going down towards Lancaster. They were coming from Lancaster. Lost control of their vehicle and went right on the other side and collide head-on collision. His wife was killed instantly. The kids went to Hershey Medical Center on surgery. Two of them are already out of the hospital. He went to Lancaster General. He broke a bunch of bones in his heart, and he's a drummer. So I share this with you for the simple reason of what you think that God, so you can see what God do. And in the midst of all, a month prior to this, I felt the Lord saying, call Trevor and tell him that he has to let go. You have to let go. Let go and let him. I call him, don't know what I was talking about. And I said, hey, man. And he didn't answer, and I left the message. I said, hey, I was praying. The Lord told me to call you and tell you, let go and let him. I don't know what that was. This happened the day before Father's Day. He lost his wife. His children are in the hospital. They're in surgery. He had to go through a few surgeries himself. He's out of the hospital, thank God. The two youngest ones, the boys, they're all out of the hospital. The oldest one is the one in the hospital, but she's awake. She was in a coma, induced coma for a while. They were trying to wake her up, but she's awake. She's doing good. But all of a sudden, when I heard it, I didn't want to call him. I didn't want to say anything to him. But a couple of days later, the Lord said, just call him. He answered the phone. And I'm talking to him. And he said this. He said, man, I did not get what you told me until the day of the accident. That never left my mind. And yesterday, I was sitting in here. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought that back into my mind and told me, you have to let go. It's not easy to let go when it's the strong tower that is sitting next to you that God provided to you. It's not easy to let go. In the human side, we don't want to let go. But on the spiritual side, we have to let go. Your pastor lost her husband. I'm sure she had to let go. She didn't understand it, maybe. She didn't know why. But she had to let go and let God take control. And I would never understand that on the human side. I lost my brother when he was 42 years old. I would never, on my human side, I would never understand that. And I would never understand why my friend's wife had to pass away when she was only 40 years old. And leave him with three kids. I don't understand that. And I'm not going to begin to understand that. As a human, maybe I don't get it. But as a person that knows the Holy Spirit very well, understand that everything that God does has a plan. And maybe it's difficult because we're human and not seeing somebody every time you go somewhere. Especially when it's someone that is next to you every day. But on the human side, we don't understand that. But on our spiritual side, we have to let go. And we have to say, God, you got us. I don't know how I'm about to do this, but you got me. Let's stand. Does that make sense to you? Let's stand. I don't know if the worship team is here. I said let's stand, and this is something else, but let's go. Let's stand. We're going to pray. And I want to, I know that you all got your baked beans cooking and your stuff going on at home, but I want you to enjoy your day, but I also want to give you a word to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is today, guess what? God's still in control. You're not. God is. And he wants you to know that no matter what you do, no matter what you go through, man, I know there's people here that got some bad news at some point of their life. Do you? I know there's people here that almost died and didn't realize how in the world that they got out of that. There's people here that have been confronted with a lot of questions and answered with a lot of things in their life that you look back and you said, whoa, how do I got out of that? How did you put me through that, God? Why? Don't ask. Just know that everything you've been through until this day has a purpose and has a reason. And you are here at the right time, in the right place. And you came here for a purpose and a reason. You're not just here to warm a seat. Sorry to let you know, but you're not just here to warm a seat. You're here to do something for the kingdom of God. And this is the play that God has placed you to do it in. And the season that you're in is a season of harvest. It's a season of growth. What God is getting ready to promote you to, you'll know. But I'm telling you right now that if you let go and give control to God, you'll see the other way. I'm asking you today, throw your net to the other side. Oh, I know you're tired. I know you're running and running and running. You're tired. But stop. Pick up that net from this side and throw it on the other side. You know, the Bible says that they caught so many fishes that they couldn't even put it in the boat that they were traveling in, because there was so many that they couldn't put it in that boat. So they had to drag that net. And here's a crazy thing, because it wasn't way up there deep in the sea. No, it was right near the shore. Stop looking for answers where they're not, and allow God to do what he needs to do in your life. Your harvest is coming. It's about to land. Get prepared, because you won't have place to put it, because there's so much that you will not have place to put it in. Right now, this word is for these two pastors that are sitting right here. Your harvest is coming. It's coming. Being faithful, you've been placed on a place that has stretched you, and God is saying your harvest is coming. You see the growth around you, but it's not everything that God is about to do with you. There's more, and it's coming. I know there were points where you were getting ready to give up, and you were fighting and answering questions. But God is saying today is the day. Even if you're seeing the grow around the church, even if you see the grow around you, the harvest is coming. And it's going to be so much that you won't have a place to put it. So get prepared for what God has. Get prepared for what the world is about to say about you. Get prepared to know that God has control over everything you do. That goes for the church. Please get prepared for what God is getting ready to do. You have amazing, amazing abilities to know what God is up to. And God has placed you in the right place with the right leadership, with the right people. Don't take for granted what you have now. Be content when you look around your life. Amen. I'm about to pray. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come here, but if you need to come here, hey, I'm not allowing God to do whatever he wants to do in your life, but if you need to come here, you can come here. I believe and I learned that I don't have to play my hand on you. I can do it. I don't have a problem. But I can allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life where you're standing. But if you feel like you need to come here, is there something you need to deal with God? If you want healing, I can pray for you. I don't have a problem with that. If you need healing, whatever it is that you need, whatever struggles that you're going through, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work on your life. Because I don't want to keep standing the service. I don't want to keep going on that. But I want to allow the Holy Spirit, and I want you to get excited where you're standing. I want you to get excited about what God is doing in your life right now. Not tomorrow, right now. And I ask you a question right now to think about and answer to yourself. Are you excited in the place that you're in right now? Are you content in the place that you're in right now? Or are you arguing with God because you think you're in the wrong place? Where are you? That's my question to you. Are you excited and content where you're at right now? Or are you arguing with God because of what he has you? I'm telling you, if you need God, you can come. You can come. I'm just asking you right now to come. But we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for everyone that's in here. And you're sitting right. And I'm going to pray for all of you, the God to move and to do whatever he has to do in your life. Because I believe that God can move you. And that he has something special for you today. And you're going to receive it. What I'm going to ask you to do is put your hands like this, like you're getting ready to receive a gift. And you're going to receive a gift from, not from me, from the Holy Spirit. Man, and I'll tell you what. There's so many people in here that are getting ready to sprint. That the water that you're putting every day is getting ready to blow up. Your plant is getting ready to be grown. But you got to understand that there's an enemy that is sprouting around you and it won't let you rest. The only thing you have to do is get stronger and stronger every day so that your seed will never fall. Keep speaking the gospel. And tell others of what God has done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your presence. Oh, Father, we thank you that in the days of miracles, that in the day when we proclaim you, the day when we said, God, I need you. God, I want you, Lord, that you're there, Lord God. Pastor Sherry said earlier, let's call out in the name of Jesus. I said, Jesus, because when we need something, we call on your name and you're there. Father, this morning, I ask you today that you will speak into everybody's life, that the harvest that they're expecting will be put in their hand today. Lord God, speak to their life right now. Speak to their life at this moment, Jesus. Speak to their life right now, Lord, that you will give, the Holy Spirit, Lord God, will give them what they have to do, that they will guide them, Lord God. Right now, Lord, I ask you to come in this place. I ask you to come into their heart right now and talk to them right now, Lord God. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that they will see and know what you're doing in their life, Lord God. Help them to be content, Lord. Help them to contentment, to walk into their life that just like the disciples knew and understood what Jesus had done and knew that the miracle that they're about to receive is sitting right in their hand and all they have to do is receive it. Father, this morning, I pray that you will touch their life right now. I pray right now that every person that is sitting in this pews today, right now, that they will receive a word from you, that they will receive, Lord God, in their heart, the next step of what they've been praying for right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Right now, I pray right now for a word for healing, Lord God, those who are in need of a healing right now, Lord. I pray right now that you will touch, and I pray right now that you, Holy Spirit, will move among everybody that is sitting in here, Lord God, that everybody will receive, Lord God, what you have for them. Father, I thank you. Right now, I pray that you will touch our heart, and that as we move forward, we know what to do to receive and move forward what you've given us. This morning, speak a word to this church. This morning, Lord, receive. God's saying, receive what I'm giving you. I'm looking at your heart right now. Receive what I'm giving you, what I'm placing in your hands. There's some people, start writing the idea that God has given you. Begin to put down the song that God has given you to write. Right now, write the ideas that he's given you. There's some people that God's going to place into a place here of blessing. He's going to place you into places that you've never been to. There's some people here that are about to start up something that no one had ever started. So the Father is saying, there's a blessing that is coming. You've been faithful for a long time. You've been waiting for something different. And I'm asking you this morning to be a different light in the community that you're in. Not just the light, a different light in the community that you're in. Father, I thank you, God. Right now, someone, it's in need of that push from God. Someone is in need of being lifted up, and God is telling you, I've been happy with the job that you've been doing. I've been happy with the way that you're growing. I'm excited about the growth that is coming at you. I'm excited to see what God is about to do with you, and I'm excited to be part of what the kingdom of God is doing. Right now, God is telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes it's hard and you feel like you're getting ready to go. But God is telling you, don't give up. Grab what he's given you and keep going. Even on the hardest time in your life, God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It's time to get up and move forward. Don't stay sitting. It's time to get up and move forward. Really, a spirit of anointing in this house, Lord God. That will, people will move, Lord God. That people will grow. And not just that they will win souls, but God, that they can know that without a shadow of a doubt, whenever they share something, it came from the deepest part of their heart because you did that change. Nobody else did it. Let them share what you have for them. Let them share with everybody what you've done, God. Let them be a light, a different life in this world, in this community, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.